that. So we're going to talk about accelerate. How do you accelerate restoration and receiving? Because one of the things he shared with me Monday night was that many, late into Monday night, he said, many people have the brakes on when I want to put the gas pedal down and accelerate your restoration and receiving. And then he also said to me, some people are decelerating my work and plan of restoration in their life. And so I want you to instruct the people of God here on the keys to accelerate. I'm going to give you two of them tonight. And then there's things that decelerate, things that slow you down and slow down the work of God or the process of God and the progress of God in your life. So he said, don't give up, get fed up. Turn to someone next to you and say, don't give up, get fed up. He says, some people aren't fed up enough when things are not occurring or happening. Okay? So here we'll start with our opening scripture, our theme scripture, Acts 3, 19, 20 through 21. He says, repent therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from where? The presence of the Lord, that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of how many things? All things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Now notice, this was a program that all the holy prophets spoke about since the world began. So since the world began, God's been talking about restoration. It's been part of God's agenda. It's been part of God's program. And he wants it to be part of your life experience. Amen. Because we have to understand that these are days of restoration. This is a year of restoration. Everyone here in the body of Christ should be activating and accelerating their receiving and the restoration power of God in their lives, their families, their finances, et cetera, et cetera. So all of us should be activating and accelerating. We do that with the exercise of our faith. And it's in different areas, and we'll cover those as the Lord directs us in the upcoming days. So Webster's Dictionary defines restore to bring back to a former or original condition. Most of the times we think that's the way we are restored. We just get made whole again or just get being made back to original condition. But God's definition of restore is to make better, to improve, to increase, to multiply. Everybody say, make better, improve, increase, and multiply. Now, we're not talking about just surviving. We're talking about thriving. Amen. When God restores, you go from surviving and struggling to thriving and living triumphant. Amen. So we should be expecting better, improved, increase, and multiplication when our Father God, our Master Restorer, Restoring God, our turnaround specialist, gets involved in restoring our lives. So I want to talk to you about your mindset. Don't think God's just going to bring you out and then you got a whole bunch of bullet holes through you. And you got torn up, you know, everything's all torn up and you've been messed up for the last 6 weeks or 6 months. No, when God restores, you are better. Come on now. You are improved. You are increased. And you are multiplied. Amen? So don't be thinking about, I'm just going from struggle to survive, barely surviving. God's talking about thriving. Amen? See, when Satan steals something from you, God's idea of restoration is not to merely bring you back to your former condition. After he makes the devil pay, your situation will be improved, better, increased, and multiplied. Now, you have to think it so you can believe it. And so you can start exercising your faith for it. Does everybody follow me? Is everybody following me? You got to believe, think it, because that's why I want to affect your mindset. You got to think it so you can believe it. And then you've got to exercise your faith for it. So the will of God is restoration. But how do we define it in God's terms? God's terms is better, increased, improved, amen, multiplication. He's not talking about devastation to barely get along. He's talking about devastation to restoration. So let's look at example how he restores. Let's look at the first example. You got the scripture there. Exodus 12, 35 through 36. And the people of Israel did as Moses had instructed. They asked the Egyptians for clothing and articles of silver and gold. For the Lord caused the Egyptians to look favorably upon the Israelites. In other words, after 400 years of slavery and bondage, God made them pay reparations and restoration for the back payments of their forefathers. Everybody say favor is not fair. So he did what? He gave the Israelites what? Gave them to look favorably at to the Israelites and gave the Israelites whatever they asked for. Say it again with me. Favor is not fair. So when God restores, he will give you favor for it. Grace. That's faith. That's a grace term. And grace for it, even though you didn't deserve it or work for it, because he's trying to restore you. And so they stripped the Egyptians of their wealth. They took all the wealth of Egypt out. The Bible says in Psalms that he brought them forth with silver and gold and was not a feeble one among the among their tribes. So in other words, everybody had the money when they walked out. Nobody was broke, busted, or disgusted. Amen. So if you've been taken advantage of, perhaps, and worked your fingers to the bone, so to speak, unfairly or unjustly paid while others got rich off your hard labor, some of us have built companies and built businesses through the sweat of our labor. And we were making low-scale pay, minimum pay, and perhaps even some cases no pay. God can restore. Everybody say, God can restore. So our Father God is keeping the books. He's a good accountant. Amen. He's even got a book called Numbers, so you know he can count. And compensation is part of his agenda. Compensation is part of his repayment or payback program. That's part of the bigger restoration program. He compensates. The Bible says he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is both a rewarder, Hebrews 11:6, and a restorer. God is both a rewarder and a what? Restore. So you got to look at God and say he's going to reward your faith. And he's going to restore you based on the exercise of your faith. That was enough to comb your hair and come out tonight. All right, so here's the caution. Everybody see that caution? Don't become envious of wealthy sinners. Now let's go to Psalms 37:1. Let's go to Psalms 37:1. Excuse me. Psalms 37:1. Put it in a New King James, if you could. New King James Version. Psalms 37:1. Now, what does it say? Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of what? So, in other words, you can't be looking at drug dealers and people who don't even serve God, prospering, getting better. You can't get mad at social media and TV and say, why they have that? And I don't have that. You can't be envious of sinners. Wealthy sinners are not to be on your mind and in your focus scope. Amen. Let's keep going. Next verse. We'll go down to 11. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like a green herb. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Go back to the next. Yeah. Go ahead. Next section there. Okay. Trust in the Lord and do good and dwell in the land and feed on what? So you trust. Who? You're not trusting what you see and feel. See, you get out of faith when you trust what you see and feel. Nothing's not happening. I'm still hurting. Things are not, doesn't seem like it's working. You got to trust who? Now, God and his word are one. So you trust God. You trust his word. You trust what he said to you. Words of promise and then words of prophecy. Believe on the Lord, so shall be established. 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe his prophets and so shall you prosper. So you should be going back, looking at the prophecy, looking at the promises, okay? Feed on his what? Faithfulness. So everybody should be feeding on his faithfulness. Now go ahead, keep going, next verse. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you what? The desires of your heart. Verse 5, commit your way. Now the Amplifier says this way. It says to us, commit your way to the Lord, roll and repose each of your care on him, of your load on him. That means roll a care of it. Don't get frustrated and fretful over it. Roll the care of it over. Commit your way to the Lord. That means take your cares, New Testament language, cast your cares on the Lord. Okay? Trust also on him and he will bring it to pass. Now, how many times have you seen trust here in the recent? Several. Okay? Keep going. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice as a noonday. So he's going to do you right, and he's going to bring justice to you. The way he metes out justice is what his word says he'll do. Who is he who justifies? God's the judge, and he justifies us. Amen? He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light and your justice at noonday. Verse 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for who? Stop waiting on people. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Stop getting upset because people making a lot of fast money the wrong way, unethically, illegally, immorally. Amen? Because sometimes you can get real envious of people who are doing just downright sin. And y'all know the deals, you know, the different things they do. And then you say, they make so much a day and look like they're getting away with it. They don't have to even pay taxes because it's all cash handling transaction. No, you can't put your mind or your mouth on it. Okay? Keep going. Verse 8. Cease from what? Oh, my goodness. That needs to be ceased. And forsake what? Wrath. Do not fret. It only causes what? Harm. Verse 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit what? The earth. Verse 10. For yet a little while, the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. Verse 11. But the meek shall inherit what? He said that several times. And shall delight themselves in the abundance of what? Peace. Praise the Lord. So don't get trapped. Everybody say it. Don't get trapped. In envy, envying wicked sinners, wealthy sinners in your life. So don't allow frustration or fretting to vent, cause you to vent wildly or wickedly through your lips and lose your, like a loose cannon. In other words, you complaining and carrying on. You know, why are they doing this? Why did they seem like they'd be able to go out and do this and do that and do that? And I just can't. You know, you're fretting. See, this stuff could cause that deceleration, not acceleration, to your restoration and receiving. Now, this is not in your notes, but write this down. These are four major faith decelerators from this section of Scripture. Study it out. I've read it in five different translations and studied it and meditated it. God talked to me about it. And he said, you, first of all, you see fear. Everybody say fear. So these are four decelerators. These are things that will not accelerate, but decelerate. So when fear comes in, your faith goes out. When fear builds up, your faith breaks down. Number two, fretting. When you fret, you will get quickly upset. You can tell how quick do you blow up. You know how you get when you're irritated, agitated? You're fretting. Number three, frustration. So number one's fear. Number one's fretting. Number three is frustration. So when you're frustrated, you're not in faith. Amen. Now, the fretting is a corruption, a corrosion, or a vexing of your spirit and your soul. It's a toxicity. Amen. That makes you spew out bad stuff. You're fretting. Stop trying to lie and cover it up. Fretting is not good. Amen. Number four, fury. So fear, fretting, frustration, fury. See, anger reduces. What does it reduce? It reduces your faith to zero. See, what do you need to give God something to work with every day in your life to restore your, do his restoration work in your life? You need to exercise or release your faith. No faith, no grace. The grace is the restoration work. It's what God's empowerment and enablement flows in and through your life. No faith, no grace. Amen? And so you can't tap into anything, and you can't give God anything to work with when your faith has been reduced. Amen? So you got to be quick to forgive. You got to be quick to repent. You got to be quick to resolve and reconcile your conflicts. Say that with me. Say, be quick to forgive. Quick to repent. And quick to resolve and reconcile your conflicts. It doesn't matter if they've done you wrong. You've got to practice what Undersecretary Johnson did. Johnny Johnson did. He said, I have a 5-second rule. And he said, a 5-second rule means I don't let an offense or a trespass go 5 seconds without instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Instant forgiveness and unconditional love. Because he said, if I let that thing burn any longer, that anger and that bitterness will just start spreading like wildfire. You've got to practice that. That's why we've said during this whole season, we've said you've got to take out 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Amplified Bible, and begin to feed on it every day. If you don't feed your faith, love scriptures, you're going to be starving your love life. And faith works by love. No love, no faith. And no faith, no grace. So you got to make yourself intentionally feed your love. Fill that love tank up. Because you could probably going to burn it all out by the end of the day. Amen. Stuff and people making you mad. And you got to be able to say, I got to do instant forgiveness and unconditional love. I got to forgive them. Even if you know you're going to meet them and they're going to be hollering at you or fussing at you or saying something ugly against you, you got to forgive them in advance. You got to be proactive and reactive with your love. You got to walk in forgiveness just like you walk in love. That means I'm walking in a posture of I'm quick to forgive when people cross me, when people trespass against me, when people offend me. Be quick. Be quick. Amen? See, if your anger lingers long, this was a little spiritual, then things in your life will go wrong. If your anger lingers long, then things in your life will go wrong. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Because of what? If you do, it doesn't get better over time. It gets worse because that unresolved anger will metastasize, and you become homicidal or suicidal. And too many people and saints of God, and the Lord told me this morning, early in the morning, he said they're being suicidal because they're harboring that stuff and hurting themselves. It's not the blow-up time. It's the repressive kind, the hidden emotion of anger that's in there, that's locked up in the box of your spirit and your soul, and it's not causing you to prosper, but it's causing you to lose control. Amen? You have to do two things with your spirit and soul. You got to perfect your peace, and you got to protect your peace. He said he'll keep you in perfect peace with your mind and stayed on him. And then we know the Philippians account where we learn that we have to be careful for nothing. Praise God. Amen. So don't yield to those faith decelerators. Now let's go to the scripture again for Exodus 22:1. The last bullet there, before the scripture. God makes restoration to the faithful today, just as he did for the people when he delivered them from bondage. So when God makes good for you, you got to be faithful to do your part. Amen. And if you're not faithful and walking in love and protecting your faith from being decelerated, not letting fear in, not carrying the cares, but casting the cares. Remember, casting the cares on the Lord is a deliberate act, deliberate speaking, deliberate follow through. It's you taking that care and giving it to the Lord. How do you give it to him? Not physically, but spiritually. You got to cast your cares. You can't carry them. God will not excuse you for carrying them. Amen. So he makes restoration good to the faithful today, the faithful who will protect their peace, the faithful who will walk in love, the faithful who will live by faith. Amen. Amen. Exodus 22:1 says, if anyone steals an ox or sheep, then he kills or sells it, the thief must pay back 5 oxen for each ox stolen, the 4 sheep for each sheep stolen. So even under the law of Moses, God had a restoration program. And we have a better covenant established on better promises now. So this tells us that God promises a return on everything we give. It was talked about in an offering. You know, we got to expect a return. So he promises a return on everything we give, but also a restoration of everything that's been stolen from us. So God doesn't cover you on the front side. He covers you on the back side. So return and restoration is part of God's agenda for us. So we can't lose, right? Now listen to this verse in Proverbs 6:30-31, New Living Translation. Proverbs 6:30-31, New Living Translation. Excuses might be found for a thief who steals because he's starving, but if he's caught, he must pay back 7 times what he stole, even if he has to sell everything in his house. Now, is that the word of God? No, that was weak. Is that the word of God? So is that something we can exercise our faith for? Now, Dr. Jerry Savelle said, I didn't even know about this verse. I mean, he read it, but it wasn't revealed to him, wasn't lit up to him. And so he had a guy, him and his wife, Carolyn, had bought a house, and they bought a house, a very nice house, that was a major restoration project. And they was going to have to invest a lot of money in this. And so over time, they bought this house, and they restored it, put a lot of money into the floors, the windows, redoing everything in the house. But then they noticed the trees still needed, you know, and up in north central Texas, you know, the trees were rarity. So they needed a lot of work, restoration work on those trees in the yard, big palatial place. And he said he had a guy come over who happened to be a born-again Christian. And he came over he said, I want you to do an estimate. I want to sign a contract. I don't want you to do any work. I just want you to do an estimate. Tell me what we're looking at to restore these trees. And we're not doing anything. And so him and his wife had to go out of town for 3 or 4 days. They come back and they drive up to the house and got all these people in the yard working on their trees. Working, same guy he talked to about getting the estimate. The guy didn't get him an estimate. He just went to work. And so he's upset. He said, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get us out of the car. What are you doing? He said, well, what do you think we're doing? We're working on your trees. He said, well, I didn't say that. I said, just give me an estimate. He said, no, you didn't. You told me we're working on the trees. He said, you gave me a verbal contract. He said, no, we don't have anything signed. We don't have anything. I didn't tell you to work on the trees. And so he was fussing with the guy, and the guy said, no, yes, you did. And then the guy turned around and said, I know who you are. He said, you're a preacher. And you're going to have to pay me if I stop working. And he told him that. And he said, if you don't pay me, I'm going to sue you. He said, I'm going to call a sheriff and have him come out here and take care of this. He said, well, call the sheriff. And so Dr. Jerry Savelle was really upset. He said, I didn't feel like being a Christian and preacher at that time. I wanted to slug him. But so he's mad because the guy was being obstinate about it. He said, I'm going to sue you. And so he thought he would intimidate him and threaten him like that. So he's being taken advantage of. Would y'all agree about that? Yeah. So he goes to his office and he's stewing about this. He can't hardly think. And he finally asked the Lord. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do about that? And the Lord said, pay him. He said, pay him, Lord. I didn't, it's not my deal. I mean, he said, he asked you for $3,000. He says, well, $3,000 is all I have. He said, good. He said, glad he didn't ask you for $4,000. He said, I want you to pay him, but when you give him the check, I want you to pray for him. Because he's a Christian. He didn't know at that time. He said he's a Christian, and he's backslidden, and he's in dire financial straits. And he thought he can use you as an easy touch to get money out of you, to help him get his finances back in line. So he was going to take advantage of you. He knew who you are, but he is a brother in the Lord. So you need to pray him. You need to give him the money, ask him for forgiveness, and pray for him. He did that. He called a guy, called him up, had an appointment with him. He thought he was going to argue, fuss with him again. But he said he wrote him a check, gave him the $3,000, told him what the Lord told him to tell him, and said, I want you to forgive me. Here's the $3,000. And then, of course, I'll pray for you. Now, what I didn't say, when he told him to pray for him, he said, I want you to open this verse in Proverbs chapter 6, one we just read. He said, I want you to exercise your faith for that and claim that you get seven times back what you got taken. Now he starts and he said, I like that deal, Lord. So he said, $3,000 times seven was what? $21,000. He said, we can work with that. And so he claimed it. So the Lord spoke to him. And remember, his word spoken to you is valid. You can take that to the bank.
That's right.
Amen. You can stand on that. And we've had a lot of words spoken to us that we can stand on for restoration. Amen? And so anyway, he said less than 2 weeks later after he got the guy was crying because he told him what the Lord told him. And so he's crying. He made everything right, gave the guy the $3,000. He said, well, if I, when I get situated, I'll, if we continue this project, I may use you again. So, but not right now. I mean, wait and see, the Lord says. And so he got all that cleared up, and then God went to work. I mean, faith works by love. Amen. No love, no what? Faith. No faith, no grace. So less than 14 days later, Brother Copeland calls him. He said, Jerry, there's a guy at the airport. He's a car dealership owner from Denver, Colorado, but he also has a dealership in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Very wealthy guy and a dealership owner. And so he said, he's at the airport. He's at Meacham Airport. And he said, I've got, he wants to meet up with you. He said, he's got something for you. And so he called the guy and gave him the number. He said, you mind if I give him your number or give you his number and you can call him? He called him. He said, is you at Meacham? Yep, I'm here waiting for you. He said, what's your tail number? What's your place? Find out where he was in the airport. And he drove up to him. The guy's sitting in his airplane and he's holding a big bag, a brown bag. Less than 2 weeks now, big brown paper. He said, preacher, he said, he kind of knew of him, but he didn't know him real well. He said, preacher, he said, I just came back from Las Vegas, and the Lord said, this money is not mine, it's yours. He said, don't ask me where it came from, but you have to know this, I went to the enemy's camp, and it's I don't want a receipt for it, I don't want nothing for it. He said, here, take it. And he took it, he opened it up, looked at it, all his money in there. He closed it up, put it back. He said, what is this? Is this a drug deal or something going on? And so he said, no, it's for you. He gave it to him. He said, take it. Well, how much is in there? He said, well, you count it. Gave him the bag, went in the airplane, and closed the airplane up. So he said, Lord, what is this? He said, I'm going to go carry here and get this money. Somebody might think I'm doing a drug deal or what I'm doing with all this cash. And so him and his wife went home. He went home to his wife, and she said, what is it? God gave me a big bag of money. He said, well, how much is it? I don't know. So he dumped it out on the counter, on the table, and they counted. It was $21,000 to the exact penny. Somebody said, glory to God. Restoration. And he's got bigger stories than that. But if you believe, you will receive. Amen. 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 Now let's look at the second example real quick as we close. Wind this down. Job 42:10. Put that up, guys. Job 42:10. The Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And Amplified says, the Lord turned the captivity of Job and restored his fortunes when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. New Living says, when he prayed for his friend, the Lord restored his fortunes. In fact, the Lord gave him twice as much as he had before. So what was happening here? Almost a year, because most Bible scholars agree, what the whole 42 chapters of Job was less than a year. Most of them say 9 months. Some of them say almost a year. So between 9 months to a year, this is sometimes you look at read the book of Job and you think, man, his whole life was messed up. He just had all kind of, but he just had a bad year. He lost everything. You see, in Job chapter 1, everything, Satan was going after everything. He was trying to get God to take everything from him. And you got to look at God wouldn't do it. And of course, Job's fear allowed his faith to decelerate, and Satan was accelerating and taking stuff from him and destroying stuff. Because he says in the early chapters, that which I greatly feared has come upon me. Are you listening to me? But you see God getting him back into faith. How can you accelerate your restoration? God's got to first get you into faith. You can't receive anything from God without faith. James tells us that. Let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he who wavers is like the man driven with the sea, with the wind and tossed. Let not that man or woman think that they'll receive anything from the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So how are you going to receive? Faith. Everybody say faith. How are you going to accelerate your restoration? Say it again with me. Faith. So God had to get him back in faith. What does God got to do to you? He's got to get you back into faith. So you got to ask yourself, am I in faith? So for 9 months, he's struggling. Depressed, worry. You could see the fear was working on him. He was frustrated. He was so fretful, he regretted the day he was born. He cursed the day he was born. It wasn't a whole lifetime. It was just at that moment because he lost everything. And that's how some people commit suicide. Christian believers can be having thoughts of suicide. Why? Because they think they've lost everything. Are you listening to me? But God is a restorer. Amen? But how he's got to position you and me is get us back into faith. Now, he began to pray for his friends. So that's the first key. Look at the back. Turn to the back. Amen. Because the Bible says in Job 1:3 that he owned everything. He was the richest man in the East. Sometimes it says the greatest man, which means richest man in the East. He was the richest man in the East. He's the richest man in the whole county. You can think of it like Bear County. He's the richest man in the whole county. When the thief came, but when God got through with Job, he was better off. So in the original Hebrew, it says in the King James, he turned the captivity. It means he put a stop to all the evil. Everybody say, my Father God is turning my captivity and restoring all things in my life. So what does it mean to turn your captivity? It means to stop the evil, but not just the evil, all evil. You don't find Job having any more issues after God restored him. No more losses. See, God doesn't make you just struggle to survive. He makes you thrive. Look at Job. I want you to go back and examine it a little bit, because he didn't have any more losses. And so remember, when God restores, he does what? He makes it better. He makes it improved. Come on now. He makes it increased. He makes it multiply. Somebody said glory to God. Hallelujah. And so that's available for you and for all of us. Amen. So when God turns your captivity, he puts a stop to all the evil. When he puts his foot down, it's down. When God turned the captivity, never again did Satan consume, destroy, or devour anything of Job's. Not only did it put a stop to the thief's activity in Job's life, but the Lord also restored to Job twice as much as he had before. So we see increase. You look at Job 42:12. You guys put that up, Job 42:12. It gave him increase. So he listed the number of stuff he had. Then when he restored him, he listed what he restored him to. So remember, he makes it better. He makes it improved. He makes it increase. And he multiplies it. Somebody said, glory to God. Everybody should be expecting double for their trouble. Amen. Remember the bottom half of that prophecy from Mark and Trent Hankins. And the Lord highlighted that to me this morning. He said, declare that 2019 is a year of restoration. God is what? This is a faith statement. Everybody should be making that faith statement on a consistent, regular basis, every day, every time you think of it. God has taken me from a small place of shame and struggle into a large place of abundance and blessings. 2019 is not going to be, because that's still hope, it is my year of receiving double for my trouble. Amen. And we just gave you scripture for that tonight. So how do we accelerate? How much time we got? Okay, got three more minutes here. So you can't pray the first by prayer. How do we accelerate? You got to pray right. You can't be praying wrong, because God will pass over 1,000 people praying in unbelief and out of fear, and land on the one that's praying in faith. Amen. You must commit everything to prayer. We are to pray first. We are to pray. Prayer is proof that we trust God. So your first response should be pray. Everybody say pray. Now you got to know what to pray and how to pray. So you can't pray the Bible kinds of prayers and not be in faith. You can't pray the Bible kinds of prayers and not be in faith. So, for example, the prayer commitment. So if it's a big issue that comes as a big care or burden on your life and on your soul, you got to know, I got to get the care of this thing out the way. You can't pray the prayer of faith and have the cares of life coursing through your mind. You got to cast those cares first, because your faith won't work if fear is there. If fear is there, faith won't work. The Lord said it to me this way, because, you know, I reposted the little short blurb from Michelle Butler, Pastor Michelle Butler. And if you hadn't listened to it on our Facebook page, church Facebook page, it's very good. It's very powerful. It's only 4-something minutes. But she was talking about terrorize. And the Lord told me this morning, he said, he torments you and to terrorize you, so that your faith is paralyzed. So you can say it this way. So he torments you, terrorizes you with fear, so he can paralyze your faith. When your faith is paralyzed, that means it's frozen. It doesn't move. Remember, faith has to be in motion, has to be in action. It has to be working. Are you listening to me? So some of us get filled up with the care of that relationship that's gone awry, that argument that went way wrong, or that offense that is heavy laden on your heart. You got to get the care of it out. There's a prayer, praise, and worship. In other words, the orders of the day has been you got to double up on your thanksgiving and double up on your rejoicing. It's not based on how you feel, it's an act of your faith. That means you got to exercise your faith every day intentionally to rejoice. There's a purpose for you to rejoice because you need to rekindle or refill and refuel your joy. No joy, no strength. No strength, you can't resist. And if you can't resist, the devil doesn't flee. And when he hangs around, you don't win. You got to get him out of your house by first getting him out of your soul, get him out of your mind. Well, this is good stuff tonight. Amen. And then the prayer of faith and agreement. Then you can pray that as the Lord directs you. Prayer of binding and loosing. Wait till you get in faith before you pray the prayer of faith and agreement. And then, you know, sometimes you need to deal with the devil and tell him what he said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever you loose. And so the key thing that Jerry Savelle said in that story I just gave, this account, God told him, he said, you make the devil pay back by claiming that promise in Proverbs 6, 30 and 31, sevenfold. And he said, I'll make him pay you back. But it's waiting on us to bind. He's waiting on us to loose. Amen. You got to do something about devil. And then praying in the spirit, which we said everybody should be praying in the spirit an hour more a day. We got the rest of this week to get that done. Amen. Because you need to stay spiritual. Amen. If you read through there, we're talking about praying in the spirit. Notice God, again, got back Job back in faith when he had him praying for his friend. Now, some of us may need to do that. We need to stop thinking about ourselves and thinking about our pain and problems and start praying for other folks with problems and pains. Amen. He turned the captivity when he did what? Prayed for his friends. Why is this so vital? Because everything we need is in the spirit. Answers we need are in the spirit. Changes we need, rearrangements that need are in the spirit. So the devil keeps you out of the faith realm, which is the spirit realm. Amen. And then he keeps you in the reason realm, in the mental realm, in the emotional realm, and he whips you every time you do. You're no match for the devil in the reason realm. Because he will argue you and show you pictures and movie channels and videos and photographs of failure, defeat, agony, and all you do is just sit there and cry and weep. Are y'all here with me tonight? All right. So you got to be aware. Remember and be aware. When you pray in tongues, your spirit becomes more conscious than the Holy Spirit's indwelling presence. Yielding to the Holy Spirit in tongues helps you yield to more Holy Spirit in other areas. Everything gets done by speaking. So if you're not speaking, then in the right context, then you'll be leaking in the wrong context. If you're not speaking, you're leaking. And when you're leaking, you're losing. And if you're silent, you lose by default. Amen. Build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Your faith needs to be stimulated, stirred, and strengthened to act. Your faith needs to be stimulated, stirred, and strengthened to act. That's why praying in the Holy Spirit is so important, because it stimulates, stirs, and strengthens your faith. It charges your faith to do what? To act, because you can't have inactive faith. You don't feel your way. You don't feel your way to feeling better. You act your way to feeling better. That's why you got to act by rejoicing. In faith. You got to act by giving thanks in faith. Amen. And the simplest definition of faith is to act like the Bible's truth. So types of faith, we said it again. I've got them listed. Absentee faith, that's doubters. Argumentative faith, that's debaters and dissuaders. Academic faith is dreamers. Dreamers or designers. Articulate faith, people just discussers. And then there's action faith. Now, write these six things down real quick. My faith in action. This is what you do to gain victory in the face of every situation in life. Now, thank God I got this from Brother Copeland. I thought it was real good. There's six spots. So first is I believe. the declaration, their declaration of faith. So too often we ask each other how we feel. No, we need to be talking to your spirit and saying, how do you believe? What do you believe? Because what you believe is what your faith talking. How you feel is your flesh talking. Ooh, this is good stuff. Number two, I will. Everybody say, I will. So first one's I believe. That's my will aligning with faith. That means you choose to believe and you choose to maintain your confession. You refuse to quit. Remember I said at the beginning, don't give up, get fed up. Amen. That's a determination of your will. That's the decision of your will. Number three, I take it. This is your faith in action. You got to have action faith. I take it. That's my faith laying hold of my requests. Remember, faith takes, grace makes. Faith takes what grace has made. If God made grace of restoration available, your faith has to take it. You can't go 3 or 4 days without taking your medicine or taking something from God. You got to take it every day. Amen? That's your faith in action. Number four, I have it. That's my faith possessing God's promise. You got to say, I see it, I say it, I believe it, I receive it. That settles it. I have it now. Doesn't based on what you feel and see. Amen. Number five, I thank you for it. That's my faith praising God for his faith, because every one of us have been given the gift of a measure of the God kind of faith. Amen. Number six, I forgive. That's my faith working by God's love. You got to be quick to forgive. Praise God. In the last couple of spaces there, from this place of prayer, we're able to deal with the weaknesses and infirmities, because the weaknesses is not knowing what to say or what to pray as we ought. That's your faith working. Amen? You don't know how to pray about that child that's gone crazy and gone estranged from you. Stop talking. Start getting in faith. Stop talking outside your head, neck. That's what I meant. Okay. And now, secondly, by your faith-filled act of speaking the word of God. We'll talk more about that Sunday as the Lord directs. So your confession of faith is saying what you believe, not what you see or feel. So remember, confession is about the situation. Primarily, you give commands to the subject, but you confess about the situation. So what are you saying about that? And you have to say not what you feel and what you think or see about it. You got to say what you believe about it. That's your confession of faith. You got to say what you believe, not say what you see. Don't give me no patsy answer and articulative and analytical and logical. No, give me your faith statement. Release your faith. Amen. Glory to God. So your confession of faith is you saying what you believe, not what you feel and see. Come on, let's stand. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it's speaking faith and praying in faith that gives God something to work with. Praise God. Hallelujah.